48 hours. That's what Trump gave Iran yesterday to reopen the Strait of Hormuz before the US begins systematically destroying civilian infrastructure, power plants, bridges, desalination facilities. Iran's General Ali Abadi responded with the kind of rhetoric that leaves no room for de-escalation. The doors of hell will be open to you. This is not posturing from a position of strength. Two American jets went down on Friday. An F-15E Strike Eagle shot down over Iranian territory, one crew member still missing, and a second aircraft crashing near Hormuz with its pilot rescued. Iran has posted a reward for the missing American. The B-1 bridge between Tehran and Karaj, one of the country's largest, was destroyed by US strikes, killing 13. Bushehr nuclear facility was hit for the fourth time. Rosatom is evacuating 198 workers. Kuwait's Mina al-Ahmadi refinery is on fire from Iranian drones. The UAE was hit. Brent crude jumped 8% to $109 a barrel on Friday, and the Monday deadline is going to make markets extremely nervous when they open. Pakistan says ceasefire talks are right on track, with Turkey and Egypt also mediating, but that feels optimistic when both sides are publicly promising escalation. Week 6 of this war, and the question isn't whether it's going to get worse before it gets better, it's how much worse, and what better even looks like when you've bombed someone's nuclear facility 4 times and they've mined your primary shipping lane. On a different kind of collision course, Linux 7.0 is about to ship with PostgreSQL performance roughly halved, and the kernel maintainers are telling Postgres to fix it themselves. An AWS engineer named Salvatore DiPietro raised the alarm on Friday. On Graviton 4 ARM servers, PostgreSQL throughput under Linux 7.0 is about half what it was on prior kernels. The cause is a commit that restricted preemption modes, dropping preempt, none, and keeping only full and lazy preemption. This forces much more time into user space spinlocks. DiPietro submitted a patch to restore the old default. Peter Zaelstra, who wrote the original change, rejected it, pointing PostgreSQL toward restartable sequences time-slice extensions instead. The fix-it in user space response is technically defensible but practically brutal. Linux 7.0 stable is 2 weeks out, Ubuntu 26.04 LTS ships with it later this month, and PostgreSQL is the most widely deployed open-source database on the planet. 297 points and 90 comments on Hacker News, which is the sound of a lot of database administrators suddenly paying very close attention. Speaking of things that got a lot of attention this week, Mark Zuckerberg is writing code again. Gergely Oros at The Pragmatic Engineer reported that Zuckerberg submitted 3 diffs to Meta's monorepo last month, his first code contributions in 20 years. The tool pulling him back in, Claude Code, Anthropic's terminal-based coding agent. One of his diffs received over 200 approvals from engineers who presumably wanted the bragging rights of having reviewed the CEO's code. He's not alone in this pattern. Gary Tan at Y Combinator built an open-source G-Stack, a system of 23 specialist Claude Code tools. Tobias Luke at Shopify is running similar experiments. The thesis is straightforward. AI coding tools have lowered the barrier enough that technical founders who stopped coding a decade ago can be productive again. The irony that the CEO of the company behind Llama Models is using a competitor's tool is hard to miss, though in fairness, Claude Code's harness engineering is genuinely good, and at that level of leadership you use whatever works. That connects neatly to a piece Sebastian Rashka published this week on the components of a coding agent, which argues, convincingly, in my view, that we've reached the point where the harness matters more than the model. Repo context management, prompt cache stability, tool design, memory across sessions, long-running continuity. These are systems engineering problems, not model capability problems. The vanilla versions of Frontier LLMs have very similar raw capabilities now. What makes Claude Code feel different from Cursor, from Codex, from OpenClaw, is the software wrapped around the model. 239 points on Hacker News, which is the kind of engagement you get when a respected researcher articulates what practitioners already feel in their bones. In the department of naming things, a notoriously hard problem in computer science, Tay Bannerman sat down and tried to count every product Microsoft has called Copilot. The answer is at least 75, not 75 features of one product. 75 distinct products and capabilities, each wearing the Copilot brand like a teenager who found one band t-shirt, and wears it to everything. There's Copilot the chatbot, Microsoft 365 Copilot, GitHub Copilot, Copilot Plus PCs, Security Copilot, Dynamics 365 Copilot, and 69 others. The piece landed at 649 points with 311 comments, and the discussion is withering. When a single brand name means 75 things, it means nothing. Enterprise buyers, the people Microsoft actually needs to convince to pay double their license fees, can't explain what they bought. That's a problem that gets very visible at renewal time. An interesting thaw in a long-running Cold War. Apple approved TinyCorp's driver that lets NVIDIA and AMD eGPUs work with Apple Silicon Macs. This is primarily for AI and compute workloads, no video acceleration, so don't expect to game on it, but it means you can plug an RTX card into a Mac via Thunderbolt and use it for local model training and inference. Apple has been actively hostile to NVIDIA since the Apple Silicon transition in 2020, so this reversal likely signals that AI demand from their developer base became impossible to ignore. 436 points on Hacker News. Meanwhile, Germany is implementing its EU digital identity wallet in a way that requires citizens to have an Apple or Google account. The wallet app relies on mobile device attestation through Apple and Google's platform APIs, which means your government-issued identity depends on a US tech company. 279 points and 239 comments on Hacker News, which is about what you'd expect when a European government mandates dependence on the companies that European regulators spend most of their time regulating. The irony is precise enough to hurt. On the Bitcoin side, the consensus cleanup proposal reached a useful milestone. Antoine Piwanso demonstrated intentionally slow blocks on Signet, showing the real-world impact of the time warp and related consensus bugs the proposal aims to fix. Having a live demo on Signet makes the case for the cleanup much more concrete than abstract discussions about theoretical attacks. Separately, BIP 110, OPTXHASH, and OPCHCKTXHASHVIFY, which enable flexible transaction introspection covenants, released version 0.4.1 with an implementation submitted to Bitcoin Core. There's also a solid thread running on how wallet fingerprints damage pagin privacy, which matters for anyone who thinks on-chain transaction privacy has a future. The network itself remains extraordinarily quiet. Block 943,747, 1 sat per vbyte across all priority levels, $67,000. The mempool is essentially empty. Against a backdrop of war, oil shocks, and geopolitical chaos, the Bitcoin network is doing what it always does, processing blocks, indifferent to the noise.